Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and my friend Jay Thorne. Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rach. How are you doing?
I'm happy to see you.
Likewise.
Yeah. I want to share immediately because I'm going to use it right now. I have found that on Zoom, if you hover over your own picture and go to the three dots, you can hide yourself. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. People I've been talking to have not known that. And I just found it out. And it's so much less distracting. I don't want to see what my hair is doing. No, I just want to look at you. Yeah. So for the narcissist in the group. No. How has your writing week been?
Good. Good. I have.
You have some like news and stuff.
Yeah. Like I got two things to mention that I didn't mention last week. This is one of those moments you'll get it. Like I didn't realize until Saturday that on Friday, May 1st, I had both a book and a course come out.
I do understand that. And I'm not surprised by that coming from you.
Yeah. So on, it's because one was scheduled for a long time and one wasn't. So I published my book on Author Masterminds on Friday. I'm really excited about that. I worked a lot on it in the fall and then kind of had to set it aside for a little bit and then came back to it. But it's all about masterminds, how to be in one, how to form one, like what to look for, historical examples. It's really cool. I'm excited about it.
And what is the title?
It is called Secret Powers of the Author Mastermind.
And I love.
Thank you. I'll have a link in the show notes if folks want to check it out. I did launch it into KU as an experiment because we went wide with Three Story Method. And so as far as nonfiction goes, I'm like, yeah, we'll start there and I'll make a decision after 90 days and see if
totally
I want to keep it there.
Will you keep us posted as to your decision on that? Because I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely. And I also launched it at like a special $2.99 price too. It'll definitely be more than that, but I figured... to get the algorithm going, I figured I'd give it a shot. So
heck yeah, and that's cheap for nonfiction.
Yeah, so. right. So I had that, but then I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast or not, but I was working on a mini course with Joanna Penn.
And I don't think you mentioned it on this podcast. I think that's
okay.
Yeah.
So we were working on a course together called co-writing a book. It's around on collaboration, and we had a lot of fun doing it. Like if no one else likes it, at least we enjoyed it because one of the things we did was we kept a journal when we were writing Risen Gods in like 2014. We were keeping a journal, just a private journal between us as we were.
What a great idea.
Yeah. And we ended up using parts of it in the co-writing book that we published after. But for the course, Joanna had this great idea. Like we should revisit it and like read those. And we were laughing so hard because we know each other so much better now. Like we've met in real life multiple times and like, and we were just the subtext about like what we were saying back and forth was great. But we were recording that over the past couple of weeks. And I just realized that like on Saturday that we finished everything. And, you know, Joanna's a mover and a shaker. She like doesn't slack, you know?
Right.
And she had that thing uploaded and live on Teachable on Friday. So as it turns out, the course and the book are available right now, and I'll have links in the show notes. I hadn't planned it that way, but as I woke up Saturday, I was like, oh, shit, I had a book and a course go live yesterday.
So where is there like a short link for this that people can go to if they don't want to go to the notes?
Not really.
Okay. Go to the notes.
Go to the notes.
What is the course in the book called?
The book is Secret Powers of the Author Mastermind and the course is co-writing a book.
Co-writing a book. And who better to do it than you and Joanna?
Yeah, I was really pleased when she asked me to do it. I was like, yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely do it.
Who else would she ask? You've co-written with like 742 people.
Well, and we've co-written. Joanna and I have co-written three times.
Yeah.
So, and the only other person she's co-written with is her mom.
That's right. Two very different experiences, I bet.
Yeah. Probably.
They're different genres too. Well, that is very cool. That is very exciting for you.
Yeah, but also a couple of other real quick things here. want to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Chris Kane, who has a brand new podcast.
Yay!
It's called Right Away Podcast, right with a W.
I love that.
Yeah, she's such a pro. Brand new podcast. It's going to be really good. So make sure you subscribe. It's at rightawaypodcast.com. I'll have a link for the, in the show notes for that too, but that's a brand new writing podcast that just came out. So,
and she's one of those people who just gets shit done. She yes. just gets shit writ, as they say. She just writes on and on.
Yep. She so, certainly perfect. Does. Yeah.
Yay. All right. Well, over in, oh wait, I have some things to follow up with you about. First of all, thank you for fixing our comments. And
yes.
So the writerswell.org now has comments. They look, I think they look better than they did. They're easier to use.
It's a brand new website.
Thank you for doing that. Yep. You did it in like 17 minutes. So fantastic. Also, did you hug your wife and tell her it was going to be okay?
I didn't. Yeah. I can't lie. I was going to lie and say like, yeah. And I'm like, I can't.
Why would you lie to me? I would probably be able to read it on your
I know.
Face.
The truth is I just forgot. I just totally forgot. It wasn't like I was like, I'm not doing it. I just forgot.
Okay. Well, it remains your assignment. Okay. Just because I'm really curious as to, because I know you guys have like that joking relationship too. I'm really curious as to whether she'll say, oh my God, Jay, thanks. I needed that. Or we'll just say, you know, you asshole. Do you want a guitar or something? What is this about?
Get the hell off me.
I'm quite curious. And
okay.
Responds back to last week's show about, and then you can tell us about the comments.
Yeah. The writerswell.org. Oh, I think this has already sort of happened, but just in case, if you go to the writerswell, if you think you're going to the writerswell.org and you get a 404 error, what probably happened is that you bookmarked the referral link, which is the ACAST. So, If that happens, just force your browser to go to thewriterswell.org and you will be at our brand new WordPress website. So
perfect.
Yeah. This was Writer's Well episode 173. And the question was, how much inner angst do you share with your loved ones? some interesting replies.
Yeah, I really like these.
Yeah. Christopher, first comment. Oh, yeah. Another thing. I left the default setting is oldest comments at the top.
I like that.
You like that? Okay, because we can flip it. We can have...
No, I like it.
All right, so we'll stay with that then. Okay.
I've always kind of been bothered by ACAST's way of putting them from the bottom.
Yeah, from bottom up. Okay, good. So Christopher's first comment, he said his wife is not a worrier, and maybe that's because they share everything. So I thought that was interesting. Jenny here said, what a timely question. She said she never used to, but over the past 5 years, she's changed.
Mm.
So I guess that's interesting too, the way things change over time.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Steven Schneider said he's an INTJ and his wife is an ENFP. I ride the roller coaster often. Yeah.
Sorry, Steven, about that. That's rough.
Yeah, interesting. Janet said she learned a lot about family members by hearing how we answered this question. So she overshares her angst because it's her way of processing and she's not comfortable keeping it inside. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like that.
And it's still one of those things, whenever we talk about things, I learn, oh, people aren't all like me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always good for me to learn, like, oh, maybe this isn't the way that people all do it. And I like that Janet shared that.
Yes, definitely. Welcome to James. I know longtime listener said he wasn't able to comment on the other site, so great to have him here now. Yeah. He says he's definitely the stoic one in the relationship. He had an interesting story about grinding his teeth at night, which sounds awful, but sounds like James has, like, he's got a guard or something that helps him with that. So
yes, he's broken two teeth that way. I've broken two teeth that way. And I
have you really?
Kit. Yes. And sometimes like a couple weeks ago, it was so bad that I couldn't eat real food. All my teeth ached, like they all had toothache in them. And I realized that I wasn't sleeping enough and I was grinding my teeth terribly. So yeah, that I don't feel stressed, but my body says I'm stressed by how I chew through a night guard.
It's interesting. It is interesting. Yeah. Yep. Deanna said that she learned at a very young age that holding stress inside oneself is like letting a monster grow and eat you from the inside out.
like that image. I hate that image, but it's good.
Yeah. Rebecca said she related to both of us in the podcast. She's absolutely horrible at sharing her inner angst with loved ones to the point where it becomes problematic. I can relate to that. Yeah.
Yep.
Lucy talked about going through finishing her MA while she had some family illness and how difficult that was. So that's, you know, she came up with a way to cope with it, which is good. Let's see here. Yeah, Kim said her spouse is a fantastic listener and problem solver, so that helps her for sure. Maggie, she's the fluffy filling between the dark bipolar cookies of her mom and her son.
I love that. I am also the fluffy filling. I absolutely feel this, Maggie, that we lie kind of between two generations of, you know, I don't have kids, but I know my kids would be just like my mom and her mom, you know? So
yeah. Edwin said he's a bottler. It takes a lot to work up, let anyone else see what's going on. I can appreciate that.
And it blows like a shaking bottle. Yeah.
And SJ said she doesn't share much inner angst with her loved ones. And Anne Marie started off by saying, "Here you are." So she must have gotten the 404 error at one point. But she said she's a world-class worrier and her brain spirals off into wild places.
Yeah. I sometimes suspect that writers as a whole can be that way, you know?
Yeah. Just,
we're good at foretelling the future, and we're always wrong about it. So
yeah, and living inside of our heads.
Yeah. So thank you everybody who came over to the new website. That's awesome. Thank you for listening. And I've had a couple comments just randomly from people who say, "I listen to you and Jay, and I'm not going to stop listening to you and Jay, even though I've stopped listening to everybody else," you know? So that's wonderful. And we really thank you for that. Speaking of people we thank, I skipped over this, new patrons, Glory Medina. Hi, Glory. Glory's wonderful. I'm glad she's a patron. Thank you so much. And Stephanie Bond is now a patron. And I know her from way back in writing days. I think I saw her present a presentation on, I don't remember what exactly it was on, but it was at RWA maybe 12 years ago. And Stephanie, you were one of the people that I was like, "Oh my God, she's so famous and so good at this, and I want to do this someday." So Stephanie, that I'm honored that you're here. And thank you everyone who supports us on the Patreon. We really, really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for that. It's hi Stephanie. This is weird because like I knew Stephanie about 12 years ago too. We were in, I mean, I wasn't writing romance, but we were in some promos together a long time ago. And she was always a class act and a total pro even 8 years ago. So how cool to have her with us now.
That's what I see in my head when I think about Stephanie. It's just total pro, just doing it. So yeah, I know. Very cool.
Neat.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And this is actually, I had a different question from you and I changed right at the last minute when I was reading comments. Because I really liked what Christopher was asking, and I'm going to scroll up to him. And he said, now there's a topic I'd love to see you discuss. One thing I occasionally get angst about, I love that he gets so little angst that this is something that popped into his head. This is how little angst Christopher has in his life. One thing I occasionally get angst about is writing book reviews. I read a lot and I like to give a review. I'm always complimentary in public, but is that the right thing to do? How honest should one be in public book reviews when there is a problem? So my broader question to you, Jay, is how do you give and take book reviews?
Good question. Unfortunately, I'm not going to have a very satisfying answer.
Ooh. Okay, all shit. Right.
So, I'll talk about giving reviews first, because that's going to be a short answer.
Yes.
And this is good because I don't think I've aired this on a podcast before. I have a no reviews policy. And I'll tell you why. There's several reasons for this. Early on in my self-publishing career, 2012, 2013, I had a tiff with Amazon. And this was like long before like gaming reviews was even a thing. I don't know what happened, but I got a couple emails from Amazon saying that they were suspicious of review activity on my account. Not people posting reviews, but the reviews I was posting, which I totally didn't understand because I was posting reviews on like camping equipment and like pots. Yeah, I mean, just like random stuff. Like I would just like, oh, I'm going to leave a review. So I don't, to this day, I never got a straight answer. And then like,
honestly, a lot of people were getting that back then. There was a whole time right around that year where everybody was getting flagged for that.
Yeah. So I don't think it was anything specific. I think it was probably a, you know, a heavy-handed approach to a small minority of people who were, you know, doing nefarious things. But what happened was over the next couple of years, on and off, I would leave a review and then like for a book, and sometimes they would stay. And then sometimes they would say, this is, you know, conflict of interest, inappropriate, whatever their language was. Mm-hmm. So I guess around 2015, 2016, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, I'm not going to fuck around with this. Like, it's not worth it. Because what I was worried about is if they were going to try and flag me as some kind of, you know, bad actor and then suspend my KDP account. Like, I couldn't.
That would be bad.
So I at that point, I just said, listen, I can't leave reviews. So I'm very clear with people. Like, I will ask readers for reviews. I do not ask other authors for reviews. If they give them, that's great. And I'm always very clear in saying, like, listen, I can't reciprocate, just so you understand. And honestly, that's kind of worked out better that way, because I was always a little bit uncomfortable with reviewing books as an author. I mean, I'm a reader too. I get that, but it's a fine line. And especially now with, you know, what Amazon does with scanning social media and like cross-referencing visits to the pay Amazon, like it's just easier if I say, that's my policy. So I don't leave reviews. That's good. The unsatisfying answer for the first part.
No, it's a good clean answer. It is.
Yeah.
So how do you take them?
How do I take them? For fiction, I barely even look at them anymore. Brian McDonald, I'm a big fan of Brian McDonald and the Golden Rule. And he talks about feedback. He said, his only question is like, did you put the book down and where? And anything else is opinion. So whenever I see a review that I always think about that, like, you know, how 90% of what that review is someone's opinion. And if I start getting into that downward spiral of chasing and fixing just because one person posted a review, now, you know, if I get 5 or 6 or 7 in a row that all say the same thing, but that really doesn't happen to me. So for fiction, I barely even look at them. Like every 6 months, I'll go into Author Central and I'll click on reviews because you see them chronologically. But like that's it. For nonfiction, I've been checking reviews much more often, almost like on a weekly basis. And I'll tell you why. Well, for Three Story Method, which is that was the first big nonfiction book, and that came out March 1st, I think. That book's audience is highly niched. It is other authors. So if another author is going to leave a review on a book about writing, there's probably something there I need to be paying attention to, good and bad. So I never comment ever. I never comment.
No one ever should.
On reviews. Yeah, I don't reply to reviews. I don't comment them, rebuke, nothing. But I do for nonfiction, I do tend to look at them more often.
That's great. Good answers.
How about you? Do you give reviews?
You know, I used to, and it made me kind of feel weird and wiggly, like just like doesn't feel quite right. So basically around the same time you did stopped, I also stopped because we were trying to figure out why reviews were getting stripped. And there was there were all these conspiracy theories around. And I still kind of believe that if I were ever to log on to the internet at, you know, like Sophie's house using her IP, now they know I'm associated with that IP. And if I review her book, they'll strip it. Like they have some way to do it.
Oh yeah.
So I just gave up. I have a few exceptions though. If a friend of mine has a brilliant book that I have read and loved, and it's got like two, you know, two star comments or three star reviews, I will go in and leave a 5-star review and actually write out a review. And those usually stick in order just to help if they've got no visibility, I'll do that. And I always disclose that I'm a friend of the author. And my other exception is on my Kindle, when I finish a book, if I bought it on Amazon, it gives you the choice at the end to like rate it with stars, and it'll go to your Goodreads account as well. If I loved the book, which pretty much I always do, because I don't finish books I don't love. I'll stop at 90% if I get over the book.
Yep.
So if I get to 100%, I love it, I can say I love it, I'll give it 5 stars, but no words, no typing, but it gets my 5-star rating and it goes to my read. It shows up as read on Goodreads. And I do keep track of how many books I read a year. I like to give myself a challenge. So if I, for some reason, I would get to the end of a book and I'm not really comfortable with leaving it 5 stars, because that's not true, I just mark it as read. So if it's a 4-star or below, I mark it as read because, and this is the real reason I asked it, I have the firm opinion that we are all in it together as authors. And this is addressing basically what Christopher was asking. As an author, as a professional courtesy, I do not leave anything but a 5-star review for another author. Because the swimming pool is so small, and because some authors really notice this. I also don't read my reviews hardly ever anymore, but I remember an author friend. Her rating at the end of her Kindle would be tweeted. And she finished one of my books and gave it 3 stars. So it tweeted, this person said, I gave Rachel Herron's blah, 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 yeah. You know, at Rachel Herron, 3 of 5 stars. And I was like, fuck you. Like, you're my friend. Don't tell me that you only thought my book was mediocre. You need to keep it to yourself. And ever since then, I have felt less than warm to her. She didn't give me a 1-star review. If she gave me a 1-star review, I'd probably laugh and like call her, what the fuck are you doing? But 3-star kind of really hurt. And I don't think that any author needs to do that to another author with whom you may work in a professional capacity someday. So as a professional courtesy, I don't do that. I give 5s or none. And I don't write out reviews anymore. How I take book reviews is basically, I've actually left the place of even going to Author Central and running all the reviews. But just today, because I was going to ask you this, I went to Stolen Things, which came out last August. So it's been out, I don't know, 7-8 months. And I've never looked at the reviews. And I read the 1-stars and the 5-stars, because I do not believe 1-stars and 5-stars. I had 2 1-stars. One person finished it. So that made me think interest about that thing that you shared, that she finished it. Why did she finish it? And still hated it. Good for me. I got her to finish it. The other one was just like, I hate this book. I hate the politics of this book. I put it down. I'll never pick it up. I'll never read a book by her. And the 5 stars. So, you know, those, I know they weren't my readers. And the 5 stars, they feel really good to read, but I also don't really believe them. I'm not the best writer ever. I know that the truth lies between the 2 and the 4 stars. And if I read those reviews, I will get screwed up in my head. I really will. Something like, you know, 98% of those, I'll probably just go, oh, that's interesting. Da, da, da. But there could be a 1%, you know, 1 or 2% of those reviews that'll get in my head and screw with me when I sit down next to write. I'll have that little voice going, oh, but she doesn't think my character description is fully fleshed out. Like, oh shit. You know, so I don't read those anymore, but I think I'll keep up the practice of reading the 1 and the 5 stars. Because it was super fun.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the nature of reviews are different for fiction and nonfiction?
Yes. And I wanted to come back to that. When you said that, I realized that my only exception is I probably haven't looked in like 8 or 10 months, but I'll look today because it doesn't bother me. I do keep an eye on Fast Draft or Memoir. That is the one that reviews matter to me. And there was one guy who left a review that said, this is a terrible book. She knows nothing. And also it's a vanity press. And I'm like, don't put on there that it's a vanity press. It is firmly, proudly self-published. Motherfucker. I didn't pay anybody 10 grand to publish my words. I worked really hard on this. So
you couldn't even get the insult right.
He couldn't get the insult right. Exactly. So, but the rest have been great. And they show me that in writing that book about writing, I accomplished my goal. And maybe that's what you're looking for when you look at the reviews for Three Story Method. You have a particular goal to help somebody with something in particular, and your reviews tell you that you hit it. And if you didn't hit it, you better think harder about trying to help somebody in that way again.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I were an author who gave reviews, I think I would be much more willing to do it for nonfiction because, especially for another author, because I'm almost always going to learn something out of that. Even if it, you know, it's not like fiction where I'm not going to finish the book. Like if it's nonfiction, I'm 95% of the time I'm going to finish the book. I'm going to get something useful out of it. If I didn't think I wouldn't have purchased it in the first place. Right. Whereas fiction is so much more subjective and it feels like a whole different animal as far as leaving a review. And it's just easy for me that I don't have to tackle that. But I could imagine like reading a friend's book and knowing they're a good writer, but not connecting with the story. And like, how do you write that review?
You can't and you shouldn't. Yeah, I love that. Oh, so I think we're kind of saying all the same things.
Yeah.
We just have a little bit different practices. So Christopher, I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that if I had an author friend who wanted to tell me clearly how she felt about my book and how I could do it better next time, I would prefer an email.
Yeah.
To do a freaking review telling me how to write my book next time. Like that's how a professional approaches a professional. They don't leave a, you know,
yes.
Next time her ending could be cleaner if she, Well, cool. So for the, I guess this is really for everybody, the question, how do you give reviews? And if you have published work out there, how do you take book reviews?
That's a very different question. That was fun.
I
feel like I shortchanged everyone because I only had half an answer, but
you had a very good and solidly thought out answer, and I really couldn't remember you ever saying that. So
yeah,
and if no
it,
question.
And I'll tell you, if it makes a difference, you and everyone else can come up with your own review policy.
Oh yeah,
you know?
But I think that's really what we're saying here is to have one.
Yeah,
is just to have a review policy on both ends of the spectrum. I remember hearing an author a long time ago when I first started saying, I don't read my book reviews. And I was like, you are a liar. Of course you do. And now I realize, oh, she probably wasn't lying. I really thought she would lie. So yeah. Yay. Cool. All right. Well, I wish you happy writing in this next week.
Yeah. Same to you. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.